Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, October 17th, 2018. Dwayne is on assignment today, but joining me live from St. Louis, from the USL show, Philip Grooms. Philip, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Doing very well. I'm still on a little cloud nine from last night's Canada win. I'm not going to lie. It was fun
to
see.
You should be.
Right? I saw young players that I've been covering for years, in the USL actually, make their debut for Canada. But I'll talk about this later. USL Cup starts today, I believe, and USL Cup playoffs. How can you describe, first of all, to begin, the 2018 season of the USL?
Oh, man, it was pretty dramatic at times, to be honest with you. You know, with Cincinnati going up, I think a lot of storylines came out of Cincinnati this year, whether to promote them or for all the crazy things that they were pulling in USL. And so it was really exciting in that way. And it was a lot less parity, I think, this year. There were a few teams that kind of stuck out and were crazy good. Even if they didn't win every single game, you could tell that the difference in talent was emerging by a few clubs, and there were a lot of teams coming out to kind of just to defend and get by at times against those clubs.
Well, obviously, FC Cincinnati, with the acquisition of Fernando Adi earlier this summer, it was surprising, too, because here in Montreal, we were expecting him to come over here on loan, which was originally the plan. But then once Adi met the owner, saw Nippert Stadium, like, I'm just going to stay here, have fun in the USL for a little while. How big was his contribution for FC Cincinnati? And FC Cincinnati, amazing win streak, amazing undefeated streak, beat all sorts of records this year. How important was Adi, or how impressive were Cincinnati for you, Phil?
Adi actually was surprisingly, I'm trying to pull his profile up right now. He didn't get as much time as we all thought, and he wasn't just destroying everyone like a lot of us worried in the USL if we had cheering for opponents against Cincinnati. But he had some flashes of just absolute brilliant stuff that, you know, shows that he is, you know, a step above the rest in a lot of ways. But he did play 9 games, 382 minutes, 4 subs, four starts rather. And so I think he got 2 goals or so, but anyway, he did well. He just did, you know, he came in mid season. It wasn't, an ideal situation for this season, but that wasn't the point, right? The point was to bring him in and get him ready for next year when Cincinnati is an MLS side. And I truly loved that they did that. And they did that with a few other guys, you know, some TAM level signings like Alache, and, they brought in a left back. I'm blanking on his name right now, but, you know, it was really cool that they did that. A lot of USL sides were not too happy. A lot of USL fans were not too happy about the way they did it. But in my opinion, I thought it was pretty cool that they did that and smart for a team that's moving up to MLS. So,
well, if you can do it, if you have the financial abilities to do it, and on top of it, it's easier to convince a player to come in the USL for a few months, knowing that next year we're going to MLS. And if you impress us this time around, your name's going to be on top of the list for next year. So I guess it was easier for them to convince and to acquire those players.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised that Adi chose them over Montreal. But, you know, he wasn't loved in Portland at the time. I don't think he was starting even every game as a DP, which is shocking. And so maybe he's looking forward to being kind of the star of the show next year, you know, the DP signing that's been around for half a year before the season even started.
Now, let's start with the USL Cup playoffs. It's the quarterfinals on each conferences. So let's start with the Western Conference. OC Blues versus St. Louis FC. OC Blues finished first. Orange County finished first in the Western Conference versus the Blues finishing the Blues. Sorry. When I say Orange County, I have Blues coming out of
my
mind.
It's old school.
It's old school. Yeah, I remember them with their old logo. The St. Louis FC finished 8th and Orange County first. How much chance do you give St. Louis? How difficult is that matchup?
Well, it's a very difficult matchup. OC is a team that no one quite expected them to be this good. A few people did, but you know, they had a great lineup. But you know, coming from where they were last year, no one expected a lot from them. And man, they were my second favorite team of the year. And so, as a St. Louis, I cover St. Louis. I'm a huge fan of St. Louis FC. I think we were kind of shaking in our boots that we might get Phoenix, and the way things turned out in the last few weeks, Phoenix took a loss. And when they weren't expected to. And so it looks like, you know, we were going to get either OC or Sacramento, which was great to us, only because we've had good luck against Orange County this season. So two draws from St. Louis against OC so far this season. They stand a chance. They're a defensive side anyway. And two of their best attackers are out in St. Louis. So it's going to be a really hard win, but they're the kind of team that St. Louis has had luck as far as grinding out a win against, or draws in this case, but they could do it in the playoffs. In the playoffs, again, to mention, there's no, you know, there's, you go to penalties, right?
Yeah.
So if you can draw and draw and draw and then win on penalties, it happened like three or four times in the playoffs last year. So,
yeah, and we have Real Monarchs versus Reno FC 1868. One of the teams that I actually really like. I wish I could go to Reno more often. It's quite a ways away, but it's a nice little quaint town. It's kind of weird. It's like traveling back in the past. But Real and Reno, Real Monarchs, if you're a Montreal Impact fan or if you just like Canadian players, Master Cachar was a big signing for the Real Monarchs earlier this season. Unfortunately, he had a bad injury. But we look at this matchup here. Number 4 versus number 5. This is usually the closest matchup that we have on each side of the bracket. What is your thought on this one?
This is my favorite game. It's my favorite matchup as far as exciting soccer because these teams are pretty close to each other. It's strange because Real Monarchs were the top team all season practically, and then something happened around, what, game like 20, something like that, maybe 16, and they just started losing and drawing and losing and drawing over and over, and I don't know what happened there. There was some drama with their coach, and they replaced him. We don't know if that had anything to do with it or not. They always seem to fall a bit at the end of the season. But they were the best team in the USL for most of the season, and they've started to kind of come back. But basically, this should have been a blowout, but it's going to be a close game because Reno, again, it's one of my – I like them a lot as well. They're an attacking team. Their coach is really interesting. He likes bringing in players that can score from any position on the field. And, yeah, they can be very exciting. They always have a good assist leader. This year it's Opino. Last year it was Weehan. You might have heard of those guys. Mm-hmm. Weehan's gotten some minutes with, why am I blanking, with San Jose, yeah, the Earthquakes, this year. So this will be a really cool matchup.
And in the Battle of Nevada, Reno beat Las Vegas Lights. Las Vegas Lights did not make the playoff in their first season. And I have to say, looking at the entirety of those two teams from afar, I like Reno over Las Vegas. Las Vegas, it's a show. It's there for the perception, but on the field, I feel bad for my man, Zach Drake. All right, moving on to Phoenix Rising versus the Portland Timbers 2. Phoenix Rising with Didier Drogba.
Mm-hmm.
Now back. It's so weird, right? I don't know what you think about this. Didier Drogba playing just whenever he wants for the Rising. As an opponent for the Rising, How do you handicap that type of game? Like, okay, we prepare for with Drogba, and do we prepare for a no Drogba team?
Yeah, well, it really does throw a wrench in preparation. That's a really good point. St. Louis, my team again, just played them, and Drogba actually played. And lucky for us, he wasn't at his best. You know, I think the age is catching up to him, and he hasn't spent the whole season training either. Obviously, we all saw him at the World Cup, and
yeah.
So he wasn't at his best, thank goodness for us, but there were, you know, those flashes of genius where he has the ball and he can do almost anything he wants with it and put it anywhere he wants, and he showed that for sure. So I don't know if he will play in the playoffs. I think there's a chance he'll play actually because two of their best players have gotten knocks in the last 2 weeks in Cortez, their striker, and Asante, one of the best players in the USL, one of the best attackers, short little muscular winger. So watch for those two guys, and then perhaps Drogba comes in not just for fun. It's a good way to go out as a soccer player to do it this way as an owner and a player, but he may come in because some guys are hurt.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to look at. Now, the number 2 versus number 7 matchup in the Western Conference, Sacramento Republic versus Swope Park Rangers. The Sacramento Republic, quite a history in the USL, and being good and drawing a crowd before it was cool in the USL. So before FC Cincinnati, and they got a bit the long part of the stick, to be quite frank. Not getting through the process of expansion for Major League Soccer, not being looked at in a way that is favorable in my mind. I've passed by Sacramento. It's a big market, but for some reason, reminds me of Rochester's in the late 90s, where MLS knew they were there. Like, okay, we knew they're there. We'll get other market maybe first, and if we need them, they'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait too long. They might not be there. Just ask the Rhinos. But when you look at Sacramento versus Swope Park Rangers, what is your thought?
Yeah. A lot of romanticism there for Sacramento for me because of the things you mentioned, and you feel bad for the way they've been dragged along, but there's still a chance there. They got a great thing going, but Swope Park has been one of those two sides that always seems to get into the playoffs and then always goes crazy in the playoffs, goes really far. A lot of that has been, in my opinion, because almost every game they play in the playoffs, if not every single one, has been at home after the first round. So even in the first round, I think they usually are placed higher than this. But this year they struggled because they sent a lot of guys, a lot of academy kids, and a lot of USL signings up to the first team, to Sporting Kansas City, which was really cool to see, right? You want to see the young players getting a chance in MLS. But the Swope Park team really struggled in the middle of the season. Interestingly, a few weeks ago, several, like 5 or 7 weeks ago, they sent all those guys back down. So Carlton Belmar, Kuzain is down there. Haji Berry's been there all season, but he's a really good striker. So all these guys have come back, and they've been really making a bounce back. So even though they're seated this low, they're a team to watch. And Sacramento just has been a team that, like, they're going to score 2 goals almost every game, and they're going to maybe let one go. And the defense has holes in it, perhaps, on this level, on the higher level, but they usually take care of business. So this is a cool matchup as well.
Before we move to the Eastern Conference, Philip, the USL announced a few weeks ago their rebranding for next year with the USL Championship, the USL League One, and USL League Two. In a way, next year, all the MLS 2 sides pretty much will be in League 1. They'll give the championship back to the standalone teams or just affiliate and not having reserve teams in the championship. So when we look at the playoff right now, the landscape, there's not a lot of 2 teams left. Outside of Portland, of course, you could say the Red Bulls 2. So there's 2. Bethlehem Steel is basically Philadelphia Union 2. So there's 3 with those ones, and there's affiliates, but Real Monarchs. So it's 4 teams out of 16 are MLS 2 sides. What do you think about that MLS 2 experiment and the end of that experiment after this year?
You know what? Actually, I do have to say, I think there are more. There's 5 2 sides altogether. A few are affiliates as well. Yeah, so it's tricky because they've been kind of naming themselves away from the 2 sides, which has been nice. But, you know, Bethlehem Steel actually is a 2 side as well.
Philadelphia Union.
Yeah, Swope Park. Real Monarchs is a 2 side, even though they kind of have their own area. So so they are still holding their own, and it's interesting the way that it goes, the way that how well they're able to kind of do. And I don't know. I think they're going to be around for a long time, but a lot of people want them gone. But, and like you said, a lot are dropping down to League One next year, which has been nice. But we've also lost a couple indie sides in Penn FC and Richmond Kickers. So we'll just have to see. Either way, I hope it raises the level of play and the level of in-game experience for even the 2 sides that are going to stay. I think they have to put some more effort into that world.
Well, that's the question, right? When we see an example, Penn FC is an example that you just mentioned, versus an FC Cincinnati. The difference of ambition in those two markets, those two clubs, is immense. And it kind of makes sense that they're not in the same league. When you have teams like Indy 11, which used to spend more money, of course, in the NASL, and now find themselves in a weird spot where they want to contend, they need to spend a lot more, and they're not necessarily ready for that jump. But I do feel that that the potential for the USL Championship starting next year is to maybe get more of those big branded, ready to spend money, and to cut that disparity between the top end of the USL and the bottom of the USL. You probably talked about it on your show earlier this year, the difference of players getting great salaries full time and then players barely getting any money to actually play in the same league. So at least I hope that that divide will stop it in the championship, at least.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and full on editorialize at this moment, because I get very worked up about this situation, because it's a hard thing, because Red Bull 2 and teams like Swope Park can do really amazing things in the playoffs and make a good run throughout the season. But then you go to their full giant, you know, MLS parks with, you know, 100 people in it, and to me it's really difficult when I have a team struggling to make the playoffs here in St. Louis, and they're an independent side putting lots of money and lots of effort in, and the fans come out to see it. And, you know, it's a weird disparity in that way. And I hope, again, that they will raise the bar. And even though they're good enough on the field to be on this level, tell them that if they want to stay on this level, if they want their players to be challenged on this level, then they need to raise the bar on the game day. In how it feels and the environment, and bringing out fans and perhaps moving to a place that's possible. So I really hope they start making those guys do that. Even if they're good enough to play, I think the championship deserves and maybe should be pushed into a world where it's a higher bar in the future.
I agree 100% with you. Now let's move to the Eastern Conference. FC Cincinnati versus Nashville FC, the battle of future MLS teams. One finished first, the other one finished eighth. How impressive were Cincinnati this year?
So impressive. I mean, they're a great team, and there were worries in the beginning that they would be able to mesh. You know, they basically rebuilt their roster and brought in all these guys, and they even brought in a lot of guys throughout the middle of the season. But to Coach Koch's, you know, to his benefit and to give him credit, he pulled this team together, and they started winning, and they never really stopped until the very last week here. They drew Nashville. So he's done a really great job, not only getting these guys to mesh well with each other quickly, but also making them, you know, push hard enough that this isn't just the USL before MLS. A lot of these teams fall apart right before they move up to MLS. This is the first time it's been a team.
I've experienced this in Montreal. We've seen it in Minnesota. And I'm actually surprised, like you were mentioning, that FC Cincinnati had their best season ever just before taking the jump.
Yeah, they were amazing. They were amazing. And I think a lot of it goes to Koch, and a lot of it also goes to salary. It doesn't hurt, right?
Yeah. Having money, having 20,000 plus people in the stands giving you the ticket money helps a lot. And this is my question to you. In a one-off game, how important is Nippert Stadium? How important is those 23 to 24,000 fans there to encourage FC Cincinnati?
It's huge. I've gone up there. Last year, St. Louis was in the Eastern Conference, and I went up for a game, and, I mean, the Bailey is nuts. It's the craziest supporters group I've seen in person, and I haven't been around, so that's not saying a lot. But, I mean, they're nuts back there, and the goalkeeper says that there's some weird situation where, you know, if the opponent goalkeeper is right there in front of the Bailey, the way the stadium's built, the noise just goes right down there, and the Bailey kind of sticks out and is almost on top of the goalkeeper. So it's huge. It's huge. And if it goes to penalties, you know, like we've seen what FCC's done in the Open Cup on penalties. And I think that's no small part of it. So, it's huge.
Yeah, that could be because it's an old baseball stadium, right? Nippert Stadium. It's going to have be renovated for the next
American
years.
Football.
American football. OK, so it's an old football stadium. So the fans are a little higher. So I can see the fans on top of the goalkeeper than streamers and like smoke bombs in the playoffs. Yeah, that could be quite an interesting situation. Yeah. And on the other side of that bracket, number four versus number five, one of the teams, I wouldn't say that I love this team, but I've been hearing and seeing and watching this team play for years, the Battery of Charleston, the Charleston Battery, former rival of the Montreal Impact back in the USL days, back in the A-League days, versus the Red Bulls 2. Red Bulls 2, defending champions, regular season last year,
Yeah.
How fun will that matchup be? It's a interstate matchup. Well, I mean, they're known each other. They're in the same conference.
Mm-hmm.
The Battery will want to win that one, but New York has got a lot of prospects, a lot of experience in those one-off too. Which one is your favorite there?
So talking with my USL buddies, we've got some stat guys. We call one the stat robot, and the other one, you know, they're both really deep into ELO ratings. And these guys do not give Charleston much of a chance in this one as far as stats are concerned. So I found that interesting because it's not something the eye test would necessarily catch. These guys play totally different styles of soccer. And so this was my second favorite. The 4 versus 5, in my opinion, are going to be the more fun games in the playoffs. But it's according to the guys I'm with, the Rebels really are going to maybe take it to Charleston.
The Red Bulls, too, it's the experience as well of head coach John Wolinak and the experience of the squad itself. And depending of what the Red Bulls do, that's the thing. The Red Bulls are having such a good season in Major League Soccer, and they're going to finish second in the Eastern Conference. And they won't need those players, so they can just give them and let them concentrate on Red Bulls, too. And that could be really dangerous for any opponents of the Red Bulls, too, in USL
players. And it's the same style. You know, it's that style of play that just works against opponents, and they're able to tweak it, but, you know, they can bring in different people and fill in gaps, and it always seems to work in USL, on MLS level, over in Europe with their affiliates. You know, for some reason, this Red Bull system has always seemed to work no matter what league it is. So it's no difference here in USL, and it's interesting to see that they've been able to do that no matter who they have. And for all the reasons you mentioned as well, Wolniak is there. And the other thing to say, though, is that Charleston Battery, man, we thought they were going to be terrible this year. They totally flipped their roster. They no longer have that affiliation with Atlanta United since United got a two team. So, you know, they lost all their players. We're like, well, who are they going to replace them with? And to their credit, I think their coach has really coached them up well, changed their style of play. They used to be just a counterattacking team, and now they are able to get it done in different ways. So, you know, this will be a good matchup. Charleston's been really impressive, and we'll see what comes out.
You mentioned the Red Bulls, too. What always impressed me with the Red Bull and Red Bull, too, having watched the Red Bulls play a few times here in Montreal, that high press, that I call it the humble system, because it doesn't matter if you're Bradley Wright Phillips or a no-name player.
Yeah.
You're going to have to play the same way. The effort, 100% effort all of the time, with the ball, without the ball, in transition. And even though Montreal did beat them 3-0, I had to plug that in, it was still impressive to see the Red Bulls never quit, just going after the ball, going after the ball carrier. And when they have possession, finding those small little pockets of space to transition, to move the ball forward, and to find shots on net. So, no, it has been impressive for the Red Bulls and Red Bulls, too. Now, there's two matchups left in the Eastern Conference. Number 3 versus number 6. I'm not going to lie to you. Number 3, I do not like that team. And it has nothing to do with the team, nothing to do with the owners. It has to do with Romeo Parks 3 years ago when he karate kicked Quebec player, and I still just remember that moment. But it has nothing to do with the team, so I'm not going to be mean about it. Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
And he's there.
He's still there? Well, okay. Then go Bethlehem.
Well, I will say that I think karma caught up to him. He's been pretty bad this year, even under a coach like Bob Lilly. So
Lilly. What a throwback name. Bob Lilly.
That's right.
Former
he's brought the magic to the Riverhounds, you know.
Yeah, from
so
Rochester.
This is going to be a good matchup. Another team that was not that good last year. All he did was they brought in Lilly, kept some of their best players, and brought over a bunch of rhinos, you know, and rebuilt the team. And honestly, I think he had a little more money to work with. And this team isn't just some defensive team. They've got a lot of attack in them. Nico Brett was in the running for the Golden Boot, which is a Riverhound. You know, how often do you see a Riverhound in line for the Golden Boot? So, or Yeah, the Golden Boot. So he's been really amazing, and it's been fun to see what he can do when he's not on unlimited funds. They've been incredible this year, and they have a very good chance of winning. Not just winning, but, you know, along with that means beating FC Cincinnati more than likely.
Yeah, because then in the semifinal, you have the winner of FC Cincinnati Nashville and probably the Red Bulls too. And in the final of the Eastern Conference would be where Pittsburgh and FC Cincinnati could meet each other. But one potential team that wants to play Pittsburgh and then wants to play Cincinnati is Louisville. Louisville City FC, another success story in the USL since joining the league, versus the Indy 11 in seventh. This one at Louisville Slugger Field, the old baseball park. That's where they made the bats, right? That's where the bats come from. If you have a Louisville Slugger, you might have an affinity with Louisville FC. What can you tell us about Lou City versus Indy?
Well, Louisville lost their coach in James O'Connor, went down to Orlando City.
He regrets it. I can tell you right now, he probably regrets it.
He might. He's a great coach. I think he needs to get his players in there. So, you know, hopefully he'll recover. I'm rooting for him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But he's got a tough go of it. But to replace him is Hackworth, you know, the guy who's been famous for the U.S. men's national on U-17s for years now. And he picked up right where O'Connor left off. He solidified a system. They were a little wobbly a little bit for a while, but they really solidified things again, and they've picked up where they left off. And they look as good as always. They look amazing. They're one of the best teams in the USL in the last 3 years, really since their existence. And they're a fun team to watch. Indy 11 has a really hard go of it. I think this is one of the teams they really just didn't want to see. I think they wanted the Battery or the Red Bulls in the first round. But they got Louisville, and Indy 11 is kind of a scrappy team. They defend very well, and they're physical, and they will get set-piece goals, or they'll bang them in from distance. That's often what you'll see. You won't see pretty soccer, but you will see some bangers and some set-pieces. So watch for that in the Louisville game. Indy's a team, like, if Louisville loses in the first round, it's that kind of team that might get lucky and defend out and get some kind of crazy goal.
And a blast from the past with the Indy 11 is Jack McInerney, who's having a bit of a resurgence this year. And I was talking to his agent earlier this year, and probably back in MLS next year, Jack McInerney, or we'll try to find somewhere to play. But with this season, he can probably get something good out of it and having a bit of a resurgence in 2018.
Oh, yeah. He's one of those guys that just kind of gets it done one way or another, you know?
He's the USL's Chris Wando. Or for me, he was the Eastern Conference Wondolowski back in 2013, where I'll always remember this, Phil. After a few games, you had two players scoring, like, amazingly in the Eastern Conference. You had, like, Jack McInerney with, like, 13 goals in the middle of June, and you had Marco De Valle, but that's a long, long time ago.
It's to be honest, that's a little beyond me. So, I like it though.
Phil, thank you very much for your time today. And before we say goodbye, I want to ask you, if there's two games, because there's a lot of games, we're talking about 16 games here in the first round, if there's two games that I cannot miss, which one should I watch?
Okay, so again, my favorite one, the most exciting one, I think will be Monarchs versus Reno, as far as how close the teams are, and they both play a nice brand of soccer. But what I forgot to mention, you know, everyone should watch Cincinnati. If you haven't seen the USL, you got to watch Cincinnati play. And this one will be like St. Louis. You know, I didn't want them to have to play Phoenix. Cincinnati's probably the worst team they could play is Nashville. Nashville, all of a sudden, has kind of figured out how to score goals. They're the number two defense in the USL, second to only Bob Lee's team, the Riverhounds. So they just drew each other in the last game of the season. Nashville's going to put up a really good fight against Cincinnati. If they can score goals and they can defend, which is hard for Nashville to kind of put together this season, but if they do that, Cincinnati's going to have a very, very difficult game. But if anyone can do it, that talent can pull it off.
Phil Grooms. You can follow Phil on social media at Phil with 2L Grooms, and you can listen to Phil at the USL Show. Phil, have a good day.
Thanks for having me, man. Thank you.
My pleasure. We'll be right back after this break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sports podcasting network.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Laramie. Dwayne Rollins is on assignment. Thanks again to Phil Grooms for joining us today to preview the USL Cup playoffs 2018. Last night, the Canadian men's national team played at home versus Dominica. Took 2 minutes, and Jonathan David scored his first goal for Canada. Four goals later, it was 5-0 for Canada. And Canada won 5-0 in this second match day of the CONCACAF Nations League result. What can I say? Belou made his debut. You had as well Zachary Broguia made his debut. And Alessandro Busti in net made his debut as well. So, all in all, a lot of positive out of the games last night. So, there was other games too in the CONCACAF Nations League last night. So, let's take a look at the other games that were, if I can find on my feed. There was other games last night. There was 3 other games in the CONCACAF Nations League. And we'll break down Canada's performance in depth in the next 2 Solitude Soccer podcasts. But let's take a look at the results of last night, at least to give us a little idea of where they stand after this round of play. Martinique and British Virgin Islands, 4-0 for Martinique. That's a round one matchup that was played a bit later. Here's a round two matchup last night. St. Lucia versus Haiti. A closer matchup than expected. St. Lucia won. Haiti 2. Guadeloupe and Aruba. A very fascinating 0-0 draw. And of course, the 5-0 Canada Dominica. Tonight in Major League Soccer, a few games that are in interest to all of us, especially if you're in Montreal, and if you want Montreal to make the playoffs, if you want at least one Canadian team to make the playoffs, Toronto's out, Vancouver is going to be difficult, and Montreal is going to be difficult as well. But tonight, DC United, Toronto FC. Toronto needs to win on the road at Audi Field to give Montreal a shot. Vancouver Sporting Kansas City. Vancouver at home needs to win against SKC. And both those matchups are available on TSN2. Doubleheader. Soccer doubleheader tonight. The other games in Major League Soccer, Orlando-Seattle at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Tomorrow we have RSL New England. And then it goes on Sunday with the weekend matchup. So 3 games midweek tonight and 1 tomorrow. Orlando-Seattle, DC United, Toronto FC, and that's the game that I'll be focusing on tonight. But more importantly, the game I'll be actually be watching is a CONCACAF Women's Championship game. Live from Fresco, Texas, the U.S. Women's National Team hosts the Canadian Men's National Team in the best soccer rivalry in this continent. This game is for all the marbles, kind of, but both teams already qualified for the FIFA France 2019 World Cup. But for Canada and for the United States, it's all about bragging rights. And tonight, we'll see who brags, U.S. or Canada. And you can watch this game on CONCACAFGO.com. And we'll break it down in the next edition of the 2 Solitude Soccer Podcast, which you can subscribe to. It's a for patrons only show. $2 a month will give you access to this Canadian soccer show, where you can hear Dwayne Rollins and myself give our thoughts on the Canadian Premier League. When we have scoops, that's where we put our scoops. Canadian Premier League, Canadian soccer, Canadian men's national team, Canadian women's national team, and any other aspect of Canadian soccer will be available there. So once again, you can go to Patreon. That's patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. We'll be back very, very soon with another edition of Soccer Today. And until then, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.